Hello and welcome back to The Village. Happy New Year. It's Melina Bagnato here and
Melissa Rowe.
And we're back for another wonderful, exciting year on The Village. You may have noticed that we took January off.
Mm-hmm, we did indeed.
It's our new year this week, isn't it, Mel?
Yeah, it certainly is. Chinese New Year.
It is. Happy Chinese New Year.
Yeah, maybe we're on that calendar.
Absolutely. And why not? And that's one of the things we want to talk about today on The Village, and that is talking about the new year and taking the expectation off starting it on the 1st of Jan, especially as mums, because let's face it, resolutions really go out the window for January when you're looking after children.
Absolutely.
School holidays.
Yes.
And so we want to talk about, just have a chat amongst Mel and I today and just share how we have gotten ready, how we've gotten ready for the year, from routine to our organisation hacks, to how we fit in our self-care amongst that, and even tech time with children, you know, under 10 and also teenagers, which is what you've got, Mel. So we're just going to have a little chat about that, and it's obviously our experiences.
Yes.
But it is a new year.
It is a new year, and our last podcast was about surviving the school holidays. So
how'd you go?
I'm here. How'd you go?
I actually went surprisingly well. It was my first one with three kids.
Yeah.
And hubby wasn't around. Yeah. He was doing a course. But I survived and I feel so empowered by it.
Yeah. Did you survive or thrive?
I think I thrived because I let go of expectations of trying to achieve other things.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to achieve business goals and personal goals as well as trying to survive the holidays. So I just surrendered and was just mum all of January.
Yeah, and I was too, and I love doing that. And I think, you know, thankfully I don't have to really work that much during January. So you kind of can take that month to just immerse in the school holidays. But I know lots of mums out there do kind of juggle work and kids. And I remember the days when I did and how stressful that was and how guilty I felt, you know, with the kids kind of shuffling them around to grandparents and friends and all of those things. So if that was you, definitely feeling it.
And we understand because, I mean, I worked through all the other school holidays.
Yeah.
And you do have that sense of guilt.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, growing up with parents that worked all the time through the holidays, I was so oblivious to it. So if it's anything to you, your kids won't even realise. As long as they're with someone who loves them or friends or like a holiday program, they're entertained.
Yeah.
But we survived, Mel.
We did. Yeah. It's been a beautiful summer and made some more lovely memories. Oh, I went on a divine family holiday, which was so nice to have 2 weeks immersed in each other's company, because as they get a little bit older, they've got their own life, their own friends, their own social calendar and all of those things. So that was really lovely. But
I was impressed that your kids actually wanted to go on holiday with you, and they're such beautiful kids. But the fact that they really could tell they wanted to be on that holiday
It was such a nice time. It was really lovely. And I think, you know, my husband and I were reflecting on how important it is to actually just make that a priority financially and time-wise over the next couple of years, because that's really the time where you can immerse in each other's company and, you know, continue developing your relationship with your kids. It's a really special time.
And while they want to.
Yeah, totally.
Because you know what's coming. You hear it. I've been speaking to women this week, actually. Their kids are like 19 and 21 and they're just like knife through the heart because like they don't want to come on holidays with us anymore. And I suppose that's a different season of motherhood altogether, that letting go, that you're not the parent anymore. You're the supporter,
Absolutely. But here we are in early Feb, and one of my children went back late last week and one today. So I feel like my holidays have officially, summer has officially come to an end, and we're back to school. So it's all very real and fresh for me.
My boys started Friday.
Yeah.
So it's new for me too this week. Yeah. Well, Harvey started school.
I know. It's such a beautiful time, isn't it? Were you sad?
I was sad. I was a little bit more anxious but knowing that he had Geordie there, my oldest, he's so super pumped. But you know, having both of our kids, we were just talking before about how it feels like, you know, it's a new year. It's time for us as mums to go, okay, what is it that I want to achieve now and get the balls rolling with that? Because I think it's, I do feel like it's an unrealistic goal to achieve in January with children.
Definitely.
To start a new food program if that's something you want to do, or more quality time with yourself, or whatever it is, the resolution. Because I do feel like we set ourselves up to fail because it just doesn't happen.
Well, you're kind of fighting against something, aren't you? I mean, I think you can still fit it in if that's what you really want to do. But for me, yeah, like you said, I kind of surrender to January and just think, you know, it's a short amount of time. Charlotte's 18 in 2 years. So like 2 years to go of her kind of being around during the summer. So that coming back into the school period is it's a bit of a ramp up, isn't it? Because you've just been relaxed and easy and no routine and kind of
play dates, going out,
quality time, late nights. Yeah. Maybe eating different food and all those type of things. So coming back to bedtime, you know, the structure of routine. School lunches and routine and cooking. And, you know, there was certainly lots of time with kids my age, my children's age, where they're not home over the school holidays either. So dinner's kind of, you know, you can do easy ones or go out or whatever.
How does it feel to be a parent with teenagers where they're not home on the holidays? Like, you're not wanted or needed.
Yeah, well, you kind of still wanted to be an Uber.
Mummy Uber.
And that's been, you know, a hot topic of conversation over the holidays. When is public transport... you know, when does that come into it and how often and how available do I have to be? Because if they go out and you go out then as well, because no one's home and you're kind of doing your thing, and then they're like, okay, I'm ready now, can you come pick me up? And you're doing something yourself. So, yeah, there was a lot of negotiation about, you know, if I drop you off, maybe you can get a bus home and those type of things. And just working out the whole...
And you being okay with the transport.
Yeah, well, I kind of am now. Charlotte's been catching public transport, but I remember the time when it was the first time. It's pretty daunting. Like, yeah, it can be really scary to let them out in the big wide world and navigate that by themselves. But they're pretty seasoned at doing that these days.
Coming back to getting ready for our year,
yeah.
You know, we'll talk about calendars.
Yes.
And, you know, I did a little bit of a poll on my personal Instagram page last month when I was starting to think about diaries and whatnot. And I am a big advocate for the Apple iPhone calendar only because I need a calendar that screams at me with a reminder, hey, you're going to pick up the kids in an hour, or you've got a physio appointment tonight. So I like a calendar that's on my phone, and it's also synced with my husband, Scott.
Yep.
So no matter what we've got on, it's always in there in a different color, and he knows what I've got on and vice versa. However, I also like to write things down. And so we did a bit of a poll, and I was really surprised, Mel, to see that a physical calendar outweighed the technological one. And so many women were talking about how they have wall calendars for the family. So this year I've decided to use the iPhone for my everyday planning and get my stuff sorted. But the wall calendar I'm using for all the school activities, things like school holidays, dress up day, because they're the sort of things that I miss in my phone sometimes. And also it's good to pass on the responsibility or get the kids involved on it daily. Do you have a diary that you use, or how do you get sorted?
Oh, look, I do generally like to have a physical diary, and I have the best intentions at the start of the year, and I always buy myself a beautiful diary to use and kind of put everything in there. But I have noticed the last couple of years that's dropped off towards the end or middle of the year. So I haven't even bought myself a diary this year, and I was just thinking about it over the last couple of days, thinking, am I going to do it, or am I going? It's taken me a long time to get used to using the diary on my phone. But it is good because it does have that like physical reminder and alerts that you can set. But we definitely need a family calendar. We've survived so far without it. But, you know, if any of my friends are listening to this, they know I organised to go somewhere on Friday. And then I said to my husband on Thursday, you know, I'm out tomorrow night. And he said, yeah, you know, I'm in Sydney. Oh, and I'm like, okay, it's time.
This is why you need to sync. This is why the iPhone or whatever device you've got, syncing calendars is such a breath of fresh air. You don't even need to question what each other's got on.
Yeah.
And if you want to catch up with a girlfriend, you can just go, yeah, I'm free that night because your husband hasn't put anything in.
Yeah.
And you know that you're available.
Yeah. So that's on the cards for me.
It's so good.
And I think for the school stuff, definitely a family, a physical family calendar on the wall is definitely going to make an appearance this year, I think. But I'm still tossing up whether I love to have a physical diary.
So do I. I want the leather bound ones. I want it to look like I've got my stuff together. But then I think, they don't need a bloody bag to carry that around in. And then you forget the diary in the car and you're going to have to say, oh, let me check my diary. That just gives me anxiety thinking about it.
I know. Yeah. I'm undecided. I'm definitely undecided.
But nonetheless, you're back on the horse.
I'm back on the horse. Yep. Definitely.
You must have a good memory though, because you...
I try. Yeah. I'm sure that I do, you know, forget some things, but... I like that there's so many amazing physical diaries out there these days, you know, with beautiful quotes and prompts and just different things in them. So
I'll stop it. Don't get sucked in.
Kiki K has got a beautiful
one. They do an amazing range. But I, every year, like you, babe, I buy a diary and then it sits there and it reminds me, it's like, lady.
You're not using me.
You wasted your money.
Yeah.
Lady writing me. And then I feel, and that's another thing that I feel like I haven't completed. So it's like leaving clothes in your wardrobe that don't fit and going, you still haven't got into me. Yeah. So I just want to cancel everything around me that makes me feel like I'm not doing a good job.
Maybe you've talked me out of it.
So physical diary that you don't use
puts
me off.
I usually use it to write like little goals and things in, but I've been using the notes section in my phone for that as well, just when I think of something, just popping it in there, and that's good as well because then you don't have to have your physical diary on you.
The notes in Apple is sensational because if you sync it to your other Mac devices like your desktop, whether you're at your desk or near your phone or not, it's all there. And you just do a brain dump. I often use that during the night when if I'm up for a feed, I'll just brain dump into notes.
I like it.
So
still the jury's out for me, but you know, coming back to routine and structure, some of the things that have kind of been on my mind in the week coming up to are lunches, of course.
Oh, bloody lunches.
Lunches and dinners and bedtimes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's up for negotiation at the start of every year, I think.
In what way?
Well, I just think, well, particularly for, I guess, kids my age is... what's okay? Like, what are they ready for a new bedtime? Is the bedtime that they were using last year suiting them? Do we need to look at a new kind of chore roster? I tend to do that at the start of each year.
Because your girls are what, 16 and 13?
Yeah.
So, I can see why you would be... Well, within that year, that's a huge maturity growth.
And tech rules as well.
Absolutely.
I usually tie that into... I actually saw my one from last year up on the wall. And I was reading it the other day and I thought, oh, gosh, how far we've strayed from that.
Oh, what was it, out of curiosity?
I usually do, like, the chore roster.
Yes.
And within that, you know, just tech time and a few other different things on there. And I noticed, I had some quite stringent rules at the start of last year that have really relaxed over the year.
Because the whole idea of a rule plan sounds so, right, we're going to get this ship sorted.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't look, to be honest, I keep talking about how I want to have like a chore chart and a routine written up on the wall. But it doesn't happen.
It's so hard when they're little, though, I think.
Yeah, look, mine are, 7 and 5. Yeah. I mean, Harvey can't read yet, and Geordie's only just mastered that in grade one. So, you know, it's probably just setting the expectations a lot lower.
Yeah.
You know, we just went back on Friday, and as we've been really instilling the whole get dressed, brush your teeth before the TV goes on, and then you can have breakfast, and the TV does not go on until... that happens. We lay our clothes out the night before for the kids. They're still at an age where they can't really reach all that stuff in the wardrobe, so we lay out their uniform with their underwear and their socks, and they know to get dressed as soon as they get up. We've just started making beds because, you know, I just, with a lot of the reading I've done and my experience through my own receiving coaching on parenting, you know, creating, getting them to make their bed and habit and making them feel like they've achieved a goal first thing and making their bed. And they're loving that. They're like, I made my bed.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you got extra points. And just teaching them that if they do their part, then I'm going to reward them. I'll rock up with after school with a snack, a reward for them. Or they, if they want to have an ice cream, yes, you can, as opposed to it's expected to get an ice cream. So implementing those rules and also rewarding the behaviour in that.
It's a really good time at the start of the year to kind of, I guess, sit down and just really think about what bedtimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, yours would probably stick to the bedtime for a couple of years now, but sometimes it's good to just reevaluate and actually, what are they ready for chore wise? Yes, it's a bit tricky when they're little, and I think with the girls, you know, our expectation was that they cleared the table, and then, you know, maybe helped with the dishwasher or whatever, or
taking the bins out.
But it was more on a bit of an ad hoc basis, but maybe just the basic of clearing the table or setting the table was another one that they just every night took it in turns to do that. But now that they're a bit bigger, you know,
they should just know that now, shouldn't they?
Well, they do know that. Well, yeah, they do know that, and the expectation is that they can, well, they can unpack the dishwasher and pack the dishwasher. But it's something that, you know, when you're 16 and you're 13, you are the centre of your own universe, and you've got all of these other things that are way more important than that.
Checking your Instagram status.
Totally. So. It is, like, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you still have to kind of, you know, guide it and remind. Yeah. And that's why I find that actually when I was reading the roster from last year, I actually read and I thought, oh, that, you know, that's a good one. That I'm not going to remind you, but if you don't do it, there'll be consequences because you get exhausted by every day going, okay, whose turn is it for the dishwasher?
Let's face it, I don't want to be nagged on.
No.
Melina, have you done this?
No,
Melina,
that's
right. You just want to smack the person that does that. So you don't want to be that person.
No.
But you know, on the you're talking about bedtime, one thing that I'm a big believer in is routine.
Yeah, totally.
And I have been with my babies, like I followed the Tizzy Hall Save Our Sleep routine, and even now, and they say that kids thrive
on routine.
Yeah. And that's definitely something you've confirmed with me with your line of work when I came and saw you a few years ago, Mel. And having that trigger of, okay, dinner, shower, pajamas, book, bed.
Definitely.
And what we've found helpful in our house is that both boys have got a Garmin watch.
Yeah.
So, for those that are not sure what a Garmin watch is, it's just the brand Garmin, but it's actually a watch that tells the time. It monitors their steps for the day, which is great to encourage physical exercise. It tracks their sleep pattern. So I've noticed that one of my boys tosses and turns a lot and has a lot, doesn't sleep very well. So we've looked into that and I've got to take him to the eyes.
Your nose and throat.
Correct. Yeah. Couldn't get those words out.
Yeah.
But more importantly, they've got a chore area on there. So you can set the chores and you can set their reminders. So I've got on my eldest one at certain times in the morning, uniform, and it comes up and it's got a picture and he can read it. And then I've got shoes on. And then I've even got one for 3:25, jumpers, as a reminder to not forget his jumpers at school and put them in his bag. And it's giving him that sense of ownership, responsibility, but also if he does the chores, you can go into your app and tick that he's done it. And now we're going to start with Harvey to earn their chore points.
Wow. See, back in the olden days when Charlotte started school, you know, 11 years ago, I just had a laminated kind of list with lunchbox, uniform, bed, room, teeth, that kind of stuff. And with little Velcro, like little pictures of it. And she used to take it off and put it in the basket. But hey, how times have changed.
Well, yes and
you can
no,
still do
though.
That. Yeah.
But no, yes and no, I'm actually just bought a chart to do with Harvey this week because he's only just turned 5. He can't read. And he's just excited he's got a Garmin because his brother does.
Yeah.
But we're definitely doing that, you know, pictures that he can just put a sticker on or a tick at the end of each day.
Yeah.
So he's got that ownership of putting shoes on.
And you can make your own one of them, but I do remember years ago I did come across a company that was making those. I think they're called My Chart or something. I'll have to have a look at that. Oh, but so that's so good places. For kind of teaching kids that are new to school routine and, you know, responsibility with getting themselves organised. And
it's also teaching them that you don't... I think we're living in an age where we're spoiling our kids. No, I think we are.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, whether we grew up and we didn't get what we wanted all the time, so we overcompensate, or maybe we've got a little bit more money. We're used to... we actually don't have a lot more money, but we're used to wasting it on coffees and that sort of thing, that we just buy an ice cream and a packet of chips and, oh, you want to go to the play centre? Sure. But there were not actually... enough teaching our kids that, okay, you do your part and this is your reward.
Yeah.
You don't just get all that stuff just because.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where that self-entitlement's coming from and our issue with the millennials,
Yeah, that's why I try not to be mum Uber too much, because I didn't have a personal limousine service, you know, when I was...
a bottle of water?
Yeah, no. And do you want some mints with that? No, I didn't. I certainly didn't have that, and I definitely had to utilise public transport. So, you know, really having a think about and having those conversations about, actually, you're old enough. Yeah, and
sort it out.
Yeah, sort yourself out. Check the...
At 16,
Check the schedule. Check when the train's coming. Let me know what time you're coming home. All those kind of things, instead of just being on tap, like, I'm ready and I can get picked up whenever I want to.
But you're super relaxed about it in a really good way, because you want to instill that responsibility and empower them. But what about for the mums? And I'm saying that's probably going to be me, where you don't want to let go. Where you want to feel wanted and needed. Like, and I'm not particularly saying that so much with myself, but I know there's a lot of mums that I talk to. They're like, but they don't want to spend time with me anymore. So the only way they feel like they're needed is if they are on call. How would you, you know, give the advice to those mums that are not ready to let go of their teenagers and want to be on tab and want to, you know, but in on the flip side, spoiling them,
Well, that's my personal opinion. I mean, obviously one of my top values is responsibility and independence, and we have to not lose sight of the fact that we're raising children to be adults and, you know, you have to be independent and responsible as an adult. So it is hard to let go. You know, certainly not denying that. Yeah, it's hard to move through that initial phase of you know, letting them out into the community and making sure they've got the skills to navigate that. And for me, it was more like the fear factor. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the media around, you know, things that happen outside in the community that you feel fearful of your child being out there alone. So for me, it was probably more that, and there are plenty of other ways that you're connected and you're, you know, important to them in other ways. Yeah. And, it's just a constant, you know, toss up around, yes, I'm giving you a lift this time because, you know, it would be really good if we could have a chat in the car, thinking to myself, or, you know, whatever it is. I think you just have to weigh that up for yourself. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
it's a journey, though, the letting go and the feeling not important. Mm. Yeah, definitely this, you know, I said to you these school holidays when we did our last podcast, it's very evident that I'm stepping into the next phase.
The next phase, or your next season of motherhood.
Yeah, my next season. Yeah, and,
you know,
indeed.
Going back into, you know, our new year, kids back in school, you and I both agreed that, you know, today is our first day in our, you know, the kids are back at school. We can now focus on our routine, what our personal our goals are. And, you know, one of those for both of us that we agreed is, A, getting organised, which we've discussed.
Yeah.
Routine. Mm-hmm. We are going to touch on tech time in a moment, but food planning, whether it's for lunches or for dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I nearly got sucked into, Mel, is the bento box this year. My kids were like, Mom, we're walking down a shopping aisle. And they're like, oh, look at this lunchbox. Oh, my God. And they're getting like, they're having like a lunchbox-gasm, right?
It's
like,
totally a thing, the lunchbox thing. How many Instagram pages are there on lunchbox?
Look, I love the inspo, but to be honest, I nearly got sucked in. And then I went, hang on a second, back up, lady. Do you really want to be creating a grazing platter every day, cutting grapes in half and, you know, cubes of cheese and cabana? I'm just like, what? I don't have time for that. I just want my child to have a really delicious, healthy, filling meal.
Yep.
And yes, if they're going to get FOMO of someone else's bento box, well, that's life. Mm-hmm. We don't always get what everyone mm-hmm. else has.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bought a nice box with two dividers in it,
yep, nice.
So I could just cut the sandwich in half.
Like it.
Put a packet of something, some apple and fruit and, you know, as long as there's a good balance of protein, carbs yeah. And yep. fresh fruit and yep. nut food. You know,
and it's more like what they'll eat as well. Are yours fussy with? I remember hating school lunches. Like even when I was at school, I didn't want to take a sandwich. I didn't want to have those things. I was so fussy. My poor mum. When I think about that, and my kids are pretty much the same.
Are they fussy too?
Well, they never have liked sandwiches.
So what do you give them for lunch then?
Well, I've totally gone the leftover thing.
Yep.
Like they'll have leftover dinner, or at the start of the week, like I'll make a big fried rice or yum. A pasta or meatballs or, yeah. you know, something like that.
Yeah, great.
Quiche and on a Sunday night, just yeah. make it up. And then, you know, towards the end of the week, they might get the hate wraps, but they might get a wrap with yeah. chicken and lettuce or whatever.
Yeah.
God,
I love a wrap.
But it's,
someone would make me a wrap.
I know, but it's more leftover stuff yeah. and fruit.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, oh, I just want fruit. I just want a fruit salad, cut up some fruit or whatever.
Mm. When they're older, though, I remember taking leftovers at school. And yeah. I loved, like, cold pasta.
Yeah, maybe when they're little, I don't know, is that a little bit harder to navigate? You lose a lot of plastic containers, that's for sure.
I actually went and got a little thermos. From yes. Kmart, and I have put in like noodles in there yes. for Jordan, not with hot yeah. water, like it is, but it sort of yeah. absorbs, so it's yeah. just warm, or like I've heated the pasta up in the morning and put yeah. it in there for him. That was last year, but I also don't want to spoil my kids. Like, I say, what do you want in your sandwich? And Jordy's not, my eldest is not keen on sandwiches at all. But I also don't want to be like pandering to what would you like? I'm going to yeah. go out and like make all this just for your lunchbox. So, yeah. You know, if we've got meatballs, I do put meatballs in there also. But I do load up the box with cheese and biscuits yeah. and fruit. So they're really,
just
pick it. Yeah. It's easy to put in. Yeah. I'm not cutting it for ages.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll come home half eaten, but they're so full from all the other yeah. goodness in there.
The apple that comes home 3 days in a row.
Clearly they're not into apples anymore. But anything that they have bins at school.
Yeah.
You know, so they encourage not to take your food.
Yeah, which is why the bento box is, you know, yes. so amazing for nude food.
It is fantastic. And look, no discredit to those that use it because, I mean, I love it. I just think, oh, God, I don't want to create another job for myself as long as they've got their food. But, you know, on that preparation topic.
Do you do it the night before or the morning?
I pack my boxes the night before.
Okay.
So I pack my lunch boxes all the night before. I lay the clothes out the night before and I have the bowls on the counter ready for them to pour their own cereal
because
they can reach the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that I use Coles online.
Yeah.
So I don't always, but if I know I've got a busy week coming up, I'll put my order in. I get it delivered either the next day or whenever I need to in that window.
I so need to do that.
Babe, for $4 or $6 delivery, it's not worth my, like, I think about it. You got to write the list. Then you got to hop in the car. Then you got to walk the aisles. Then you got to put it onto the belt. Then you got to put it into your car. Then you got to get it out of the car. Then you got to put. I'm like, oh my God.
I used to do it, but I guess because I've got a little bit more time on my hands these days, I do find that I go to the supermarket way too much. My husband has taken to, you know, saying that he thinks that that is my favourite place to go because I'm like, I've just got to go to the supermarket. I've just got to. So this year that is on my
list.
I love it. I'm very inspired by the whole shopping online. I'm coming back to it.
And look, I get what you're saying. If I had the time, and I'm in a different season to you, I've got, you know, a 6-month-old, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, I've got the business.
Yeah.
For me, shopping, I'm like, I don't even know where I'd squeeze that in at the moment. And if I do have a window of opportunity, I just want to sit and have a cup of tea or maybe get my nails done if it's like the once in a blue moon where I've got that opportunity.
Yeah.
The online is fantastic because you don't overspend. You only get what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It saves your shopping list.
And you kind of have to think about what – you have to do meal planning as well.
That was what I was going to say. You plan what you're going to cook for the week. So I don't have a set plan. I know I've got some girlfriends that say Monday night's bowl, spag bowl, Tuesdays I don't
roll
like,
with it a bit.
I roll, okay, I'm going to buy some, I'm going to do chicken, meat, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that will be takeaway night. And then I buy the ingredients and then I just go with whatever I've got.
Yeah.
But then you don't overspend. But then in the flip side of that, Mel, is say it's a Saturday afternoon or Sunday. We've had a big week. I'm like, to my husband, I'm just going to go to the shops and get something. Yeah. And I love listening to the music in the aisle and just taking my sweet time, although I did that last month and I spent way too much money.
Yeah.
So I do like using Coles online. You're saying that you love going, still doing the shopping?
Well, I don't mind it, but I noticed last year I was just there too much and I was spending too much money, so I probably need to get a little more organised with that and meal plan a little bit and just shop once.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, when I used to work a lot more than I do now, and you've got little kids and you're coming home from work and you've got to pick them up from, you know, after school care or whatever, and you're trying to find the time to actually cook, it was so much better than for me to be organised and meal plan. Yes. I used to have one of the girls in my mother's group, bless her, was meal planning a month in advance.
A month?
I know. I was so impressed by that and very inspired by that back in those days, and would, you know, definitely be meal planning, because you're just in a rush all the time. You get home, the kids are hungry.
Yeah, you're always hungry.
Yeah.
Always, Mum.
And if you've got after school activities, you kind of got to, I don't know, slow cooker was my best friend back in those days. Yeah. Chuck something in the morning and let it simmer away for the day.
Or
and
a
then,
pressure cooker.
I've never used a pressure cooker.
Pressure cookers are so amazing. You have like succulent lamb chops in 45 minutes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
My mum used to have one growing up. But have you got one?
I've got one.
Are they still? Can you still buy them?
Pressure cookers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they were like prehistoric.
Really?
Yeah.
I only got introduced to it a few years ago.
Okay.
You don't talk about the crock pot?
With a little thing on the top. Yeah, I remember.
That your skin's
going to
blow up your face when you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's all Thermomix.
Oh, well.
I don't even use mine.
I would like a Thermomix, but it's like a membership at the moment for the gym.
Okay. You
so
can
not
have
yet.
Mine.
Done. But, you know, with the meal planning, you and I were, you know, giggling before, I pulled out a frozen lasagna just before we did the podcast. And Mel's like, you're so organised. I think I'm organised chaos, but obviously
you're organised
more than I think.
Yeah.
But I do love to do a big cook up.
Yes.
And I find if I do a cook up on a Sunday, my husband's home, he can play with the kids or just take him for a walk or just manage the snack requests.
Mm.
And I put on three meals.
Yeah.
And then I will freeze two of them, which may not even be for that week. Mm-hmm. They might call my emergency.
Yeah.
Food meals broken into like food portions for like the four of us. For nights that I don't want to cook, because let's face it, we don't want to cook every night. Oh, it's just too busy, but I don't want to get takeaway or anything that's, you know,
the Sunday cook up is great. When my kids were younger, Sunday was the sacred day that we never went out or planned anything. We might have gone for a walk in the morning, but Sunday was a home day. And I was in the kitchen.
Yes.
Hubby was like watching sport or something and the kids would just play.
Yeah.
But I would cook all Sunday.
So therapeutic.
It's so lovely.
If you like cooking, it's therapeutic.
Yeah. I actually really love doing that, being in the kitchen for that amount of time. Or the other thing is, like, when you're making a meal, just make double. Because we just have to cook so often.
I even freeze a meal. Like, if there's just enough for one person, I will freeze that. Because sometimes my husband will say, oh, I've got a meeting tonight. Is there any leftovers? And I'll say, no, but there's a frozen meal. At least he's got something. And you're not wasting money on takeaway. Because the amount of money we could spend on lunches and all that sort of thing, you know, all adds up.
Yeah. That's a really, really great kind of thing to do, is get organised with making more.
Yes.
And using Sunday if you can. Yeah, and finding we're talking about all these things that we've got to fit
get
in
sorted.
The lunches and the meals and, you know, how to get sorted. But when we're back at school, it means, we have a stricter routine time.
After school activities,
yeah, which I generally kind of go, okay, you can do one.
Yep.
Unfortunately, one of mine has chosen one that she wants to do every night.
Oh. Now, can't you tweak and say one only once a week?
Yeah, well, and they get a little, I don't know. She just loves it so much, she wants to do it all the time. But
and that's
when
horse riding,
which is time consuming and, you know, takes a lot of effort. But what about yours?
So we decided on one during the week.
Yeah.
And that's karate, because I wanted to encourage them to do something sporty, but also with discipline. And they did. They chose karate. Usually Harvey chooses whatever Jordan chooses.
Yeah.
And then they also wanted to do soccer, and we wanted to get them to do swimming.
Yeah.
So I said to my husband, darling, you need to share the load with the activities. I'm not going to put my hand up to do another two during the week. So we've worked out a way that they can do soccer and swimming on Saturday mornings, and he manages that.
Yeah, nice.
And I go to work on a Saturday morning, so we swap roles. And I think one during the week is enough.
Yeah.
The age my children are at. I think that they're already so tired from being at school that they just want to come home, and I want to spend time with them. I don't want to be driving around to too many activities. And look, if they really showed like a love and desire for a sport, I wouldn't say no. But they're not.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be the one dangling flies in front of them when they've got the rest of their lives to choose if they want to do
it. And they naturally do it anyway. I just noticed with, you know, my girls that if they start something and then they do it for a couple of seasons or whatever, and then they fall out of love with it, it's really not the thing that they're, you know, it's not their passion. So then what is it that you want to do next? You know, we've been through lots of different phases. And then they eventually find the thing that they absolutely love. And then they'll just stick at that, you know, for years and years.
Do you think there's, I shouldn't say a problem. How do I word this? Is it okay, do you think, to let children try, like you said, a few things, and for how long? Because I sometimes think, gosh, if we keep saying, do you want to do that this year, then they think it's okay to keep chopping and changing. Because I'm always worried about...
No, I don't think I ever said, do you want to do it this year? I just assumed they were doing it and then waited. I know Charlotte, you know, I can't remember what year, she played basketball for a very long time. And then one year she just said, I think I'm done with this, like midway through the season.
Yeah.
I don't want to play anymore. I said, well, it's a team sport, so you have to see the season out. But then when it's finished, you can make your own mind up. So she decided herself, I don't want to do it next season. And I said, yeah, no worries. Knowing that she would probably miss it. So I let her go. And then she said, yeah, next season I'm going to try out again. I really miss it. So not trying to, I don't know, I just kind of didn't force it, just was guided by her a little bit. Everyone's different in that regard.
And look, though, I know some women that have got, you know, so many activities after school, but then I can see, and they even acknowledge their kids are so tired from it. And I just sort of think, I don't, like my parents, I suppose, you know, a little bit monkey see, monkey do. I didn't grow up having that in our week. And I was grateful for it because I just wanted to come home and hang with my parents.
Have some space, I think, too, just to, you know, chill and space for us when we get back into that space crazy routine of after school activities and planning and structure. So how do you find the time for space for you?
So let's talk self care amongst the our routines and our new year. How are you finding self care in your week?
Me, I can find it very easily because I'm in the season of self-care.
Woo! Get the champagne out.
I know. Yeah, no, it's kind of something, I guess, that I just have time for that now. So I just have been reevaluating with starting this year in February. What is it going to look like for me this year? Last year, towards the end of the year, I had a gym membership, but kind of dropped off with that. So I'm thinking I'm not going to put pressure on myself and do that again. I have been feeling into committing to a walk just around my neighborhood with the dog every morning. Didn't start with that this morning because I had other things on, but I'm thinking that
like
that's
meeting me.
Yeah. I'm going to start with that next week, I think.
That's all it takes. Just a little walk.
Yeah, I mean, look, and all the other, you know, usual stuff that we did, that beautiful podcast on our self-care stuff.
Which, but if you've missed it, it's in our episode, History About Self-Care.
It's probably more relevant for you, love, in your season. You know, how do you fit it in?
Well, you know, something so simple as today, my little one, Ethan, who's 6 months, started his first day at childcare, which I was very nervous about. Doesn't get easier. Doesn't matter how many children you have. But as I walked out, from the childcare, next door was a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise until I sat down and got a hot piccolo delivered and there was a newspaper in front of me that I was like, oh my God, I get to have a hot coffee and just find out what the hell is going on in the world today. And so for me, taking 15 minutes just to have a coffee and really taste the coffee and read a magazine, the newspaper, was a bit of self-care. And so I've committed to this year to not overcommitting as self-care, because I think sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves. Mm. And so my self-care is I've cancelled my gym membership. Mm. I've taken the pressure off that because it just reminded me that I wasn't getting it. Yep.
Me too. I was feeling guilty all the time. Why can't I walk? Why can't I just, you know, run around the backyard or something?
Oh, I've been doing squats while I brush my teeth. I've been doing leg lifts. Yep. And when I put my little baby on the ground, I do the cat and cow sound. So I've got interaction and I'm doing yoga moves at the same time. And I'm just committed to my word this year, which is integrity. And just doing what I say and say what I do. And that really is my self-care for this year. And like tonight I'm going to have a bath.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm saying to myself, you're having a bath because you said you're going to have a bath.
Yeah.
And taking just moments, you know, being a mum with young kids, I don't have that luxury yet of, going for a long walk. Mm. And when I do, maybe, like the kids are asleep, I just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I just, my body's like, sit still, woman. Yeah. So just having a bath or reading I read a magazine yesterday.
Yeah,
I read Elle. And I was like I was in like heaven. I was like, oh my God. I forgot what it felt like to touch paper and read it, you know. And just.
So lovely.
Just giving myself the space to stop for only maybe 5 to 10 minutes at a time and being okay that that's all I'm getting at that moment. Because I do really want, I'm really focused more so on spending quality time with my kids and being mindful. Mm. And also, which is, you know, thanks to your encouragement over the years, being that, you know, be mindful with my kids. And also work-life balance. So when I'm at work, I'm at work. When I'm at home, I'm at home. Which is why I'm probably quite strict with tech time.
Mm.
And I know we wanted to touch on that before we wrapped up today's podcast. Tech time in the new year, my kids are a bit older now, and I'm, you know, I say unfortunately only because my personal opinion, I don't really love or agree with this whole world of YouTube and having phones in kids' hands. And I'm definitely not judgmental to other mums that do, but for me, I don't want to encourage my kids to become zombies and check out of my conversation with them. So I need to lead by example.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my business is online. I've got 2 Instagram accounts. I have to put up new product. And if I'm standing in front of them with my phone, I'm saying, hey, you can do that when you get older. So my self-care is really a bit of that as well. And that's just because I feel guilty if I got my phone in front of them.
Yeah.
So I'm taking all the guilt off. And so we don't have any phones in front of the kids. I often won't get back to people for a day or so until I'm around the phone. And we've got that rule in place with the kids that there's just, it's only on the weekends. Mm. We've locked kids' YouTube on our smart TV
because
I found that they were getting up and just putting it on. And call me a Nazi, but I just think I would like to guide my children with what they can watch as opposed to watching stuff I'm not across or aware of.
Yeah.
And then encouraging them with strangers talking about stuff that I don't even understand sometimes. So I don't know, just moving into technology, tech time, how is it different from my age group, do you think, to the teenage group that you're managing?
Oh wow.
You know, my kids don't have phones, of course. Not yet. They have iPads, but that's only on weekends. If we're going somewhere, it's their treat. What about you?
Well, I just think it gets more challenging. I mean, Charlotte didn't get a phone until I think year 9 or something, which is pretty unusual. She was probably one of the only kids that didn't have a phone at that age. Lots of her friends were getting phones in grade 5 and grade 6, year 7.
How did you manage that for so long without a, like?
We just said no. We just had a lot of conversations about why you need a phone, A. And she had every, you know, reason under the sun. It was probably a bit of a joke and I've kept them actually, but probably every 6 months when she really started to go on about it, we'd say to her, okay, no worries. Here's a piece of paper. Go and write down. You need to write us a persuasive text about why you need a phone. What are the reasons why you need a phone? And then we'd go through it with her and unpack it a little bit. And, you know, the marketing for phones is around safety. And she'd say, because that will keep me safe. But our, you know, my argument was like, you need to learn how to keep yourself safe in the community, because who are you going to call? If you call me and you think that's going to keep you safe and you don't actually know what to do, you need to know practically what to do. You know, she had all these hosts of reasons which weren't really valid. And I, she's like, but I need to call you. I'm like, yeah, but you're never going to be anywhere where not there's in, not a responsible adult. even at 12, I'm not going to leave you anywhere where there's not going to be someone that is responsible for you. And when you're at school, you go to the office, you know, which was really hard for her. But I would definitely say to anyone, a delayed, giving them a phone, delay it as long as you possibly can, because once they have it, then I don't know, the jury's still out for me here, but it's their property, kind of. Like, if you agree to give it to them, I had Charlotte's passwords for everything and for her phone for a very long time. And that was, you know, we had a contract with her mobile use. And so, you know, that's probably a whole other episode. Yes,
which we are going to do.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a tech stuff.
Definitely.
But just, it gets difficult to manage. I've had a no phones in the bedroom at bedtime policy, because they obviously, if they've got a phone, they'll stay up half the night. So that's something that we've definitely done.
And there's more to it to just than well, that as well, with the whole, you know, cyberbullying, which is so a whole nother podcast.
And just, you know, feeling there's some very vulnerable kids online as well, and sharing different things. And if they're alone in their bedroom and they're dealing with that kind of stuff, they feel like they might need to, you know, talk to different kids about different things and feel responsible. And it just is such a minefield of, you know, what they're exposed to.
It's such a hot topic at the moment, which we definitely are going to do a podcast on.
But,
you know, Geordie's 7.
Yeah.
And he's like a 14-year-old. He's so amazing with his articulation and his, you know, wisdom of what's going on with YouTube and whatnot. And he wants a phone and I lend him my phone and he's doing like YouTube videos because that's what they see. And I've had to explain to him, like, do you really see a lot of Australian kids do that? It's all American. And explaining that, you know, I don't agree with it purely because I think that children need to be innocent and have, and they're not aware yet of people judging and having opinions. And I just want to keep my kids, you know, not ignorant, but as innocent as possible for as long as I can.
I think there's also, like, I don't know, mine are older now. And so, there are things that they go, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I put that online, or I can't believe I put that photo, that's so embarrassing, or mum, please don't put that. So there's that element of it as well, like, that's their digital footprint that they're maybe not going to be that excited about when they're a teenager. And then if they're posting content when they're a teenager, they're not going to be that happy about it when they're in their 20s. So those kind of conversations, obviously we need to flesh that out a little bit as well. But
absolutely,
it's a big topic, but, you know, I've probably been more relaxed over the summer, but now we're back at school. You've got to get up early. You've got to do homework. You've got to do all those things. So there's going to be more restriction.
And we have certain time for TV. So they're allowed to watch some TV after dinner. And we set an alarm. And we say, when the alarm goes off, it's time to turn the TV off. So we're giving that empowerment over to them. However, creating that boundary. And they're not allowed to have the iPad unless it's for reading eggs or mathematics, something to do with school, because I just don't think they need it. And look, I get the mums that just want to have some quiet time sometimes.
And sometimes you just have
You have to. You know,
Totally.
When we go out, they're allowed to have tech.
Yeah.
You know, if we've been out a lot and then we just were having a family dinner,
I'll
be like, yeah, here's the iPad. You can have that as a treat.
So
they don't they get complacent with it either. But I'm talking about every day, all the time. And I want to encourage my kids to have conversations.
Yeah, totally.
And I want them to know that at bedtime, you know, I mean, you're the one that told me about the issue we have with, and that's a whole other podcast also, with video games. And the way, you know, iPads have been proven to ignite anger in children. We've already got enough of that with their hormones and testosterone.
And then exposure, just stuff that they're not ready for. Yeah, definitely.
So,
well, anyway, it's all good to think about at the start of the year. And I think, you know, one of the great things is having conversations about it, maybe putting it down on paper. What do they think the rules should be? What do they think the boundaries should be? And so, because then everyone knows what the expectation mm-hmm. is and where the boundaries are. But if you're kind of making it up as you go, it's all a bit kind of ad hoc and confusing. Yeah, and yeah. Mm. So I think that's an awesome thing to do is actually just sit down and think about it at the start of the year. Mm. What's the bedtime? What's the chores? What's the tech time stuff? Yeah. Mm.
Where it's are a great we idea. Yeah. Getting them involved in the conversation so they own it. So just on closing, Mel.
Yeah.
What is your word for the year?
My word is to live.
To live.
Live this year. Yeah. Live. Just
be in the moment.
Live. Just do what I need mm-hmm. to do. Yeah. Sometimes, we get caught up in, I don't know, just doing other things and forgetting to just live.
Yeah. Love that. And what is your two things that you want to achieve for your new year, for yourself?
I want to move my body mm-hmm. and not feel guilty about not doing it. So just setting up something that's really enjoyable, whether it's a walk with a friend mm-hmm. or a dog or whatever. And I've been on this simplifying journey in my house for the last couple of years. So just probably continuing that and organising my space. Mm-hmm. And
Essentialism.
Essentialism. Yep, definitely. Being very mindful of what comes into the house. Mm-hmm. I'm not KonMari-ing whatever.
Or Marie Kondo-ing.
Whatever.
No, but that's she's a face behind. She's just one person as a face of essentialism.
Yeah.
But that technique is not unique to her of bringing joy, only having things in your house that are essential and bring joy.
She does
a great job of it, though.
Yeah, so really continuing mm-hmm. to simplify and not bringing in things that I don't need and I don't mm-hmm. want and that just clutter up mm-hmm. the space.
Love it.
What about you?
My word is integrity, as I mentioned before, just to finish what I start. Mm. I am a ideas person and start a lot of things, and I really just want to finish a few things that are lagging from 2018 and not overcommit.
Yep.
And just be really happy with what I've got at the moment, which I am. And probably one or two things that I want to focus on this year is to physically in my body feel strong. Mm. I've got fibromyalgia, which if you're on my personal page, I've been sharing a lot about that with celery juicing and high alkaline diets and just feeling good in my body, which I haven't been. Mm. And just focusing on being content and grateful for what I have, and just again going back to the integrity, just being in my bubble of happy with what I've got right now. I think we're too focused on what next, what more can have, and social media. I just want to live in my bubble of gratitude and feel happy.
Yep, I love it.
Yeah,
and on that note, happy 2019.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Yeah.
For all the mums that have sent off babies to school, teenagers or almost teens to high school, and having or little ones to kinder.
I hope you've coped.
Yeah, I hope the transition has been smooth, and look forward to chatting next week.
Stay tuned. We've got some amazing topics coming up. And if there's any topics that you would love for us to address, please, please, please drop us a private message on our Instagram account, The Village. Otherwise, you could always PM Melissa Rowe at Mindful Mamas or myself, Melina Bagnato at Melina Bagnato. Otherwise, till next week, have a wonderful week. And thanks for joining into
The Village. See ya.